Nope. Everybody's on an even playing field with this, including Jesus himself. No temptation in your life is different from what others experience. You're uniquely suffering, okay? Along with the rest of us. It says, and then God is what? Faithful. Each week, I kind of pause there, and you guys, let's just be honest, you kind of suck at this, okay? God is?
Faithful.
Yes, he is. And this is good news. This is the hope. This is where you say, you know, at least in the midst of my temptation, at least in my suffering, God is faithful. For what? He goes on. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Even if you think that it is, it isn't. He promises us this. And then, when you are tempted, because are you going to be? Yes. Every one of us will be tempted. That when you are, he will show you a way out, which is where we got the title for the whole series. He's going to show you a way out. And this is so that you can endure. This is great hope for those of us that are tempted, which I think is all of us. The temptations that you struggle with, the difficulties that you go through. I pray that you are encouraged in these first 2 weeks and continue to be as you look at this promise that we have been poring over and that we have been looking at. And I pray that you are encouraged today, even though you are tempted, to always complain. Now, I know that's not you. That's the person next to you. Go ahead, tell them. They always complain. You know, don't actually tell them that. There is a way out of your complaining. There is a way out. Or maybe you're the kind of person that always compares. You're always tempted to compare yourself with others. You know, with the Joneses, with Cosmopolitan magazine. I don't know what it is, but you are always comparing. And I want you to know there is a way out of your comparing. You might be a person who is always dissatisfied. It is never good enough. There is a way out of the temptation to always be dissatisfied. Maybe you're envious or jealous of others. There's a way out. Maybe you overspend. Maybe you just can't help it. You show up at that fancy place called Target and you just can't help but spend every dollar you have. There is a way out of overspending. Maybe it's worry. There's a way out. Maybe it's an addiction. There is a way out of your addiction. Maybe your addiction is something like social media and you just can't get off that phone. You're just Twitter dinking all the time. And no matter what's going on, you're missing everything around you because you're just focused on, I've got to see that next notification, or I've got to see what's happening with Donald Trump, or I've got to, well, I don't know what it is. But it's an addiction in your life, and it is robbing you of valuable experiences. There's a way out. Or maybe yours is gambling. There's a way out. Maybe it's gaming, and you just sit in front of that thing, continuing to game, doing whatever, playing with people from someplace in Europe, your close friends, and your life is involved in this, and you're missing out, but you can't stop it. There's a way out. Maybe it's because you're smoking something or drinking something or looking at something. There is a way out because God is faithful, and he will not allow it to crush you. There is a way out. You have a way out. That's what we've been talking about and we continue to talk about today. Because the way we usually deal with issues that we are tempted with, and especially even as we are given into these issues, is if we don't want to do it anymore, what do we do? What's a normal thing we do? If you're doing something you no longer want to do, how do you deal with it? What's your remedy? You just stop, right? How many times do you hear that? You know, someone's been, you know, drinking too much alcohol. Well, dude, just stop. You know, I'm doing this, and I don't want to do it, just stop. That's what we tell ourselves. There's self-help books, there's courses that just, hey, just stop doing it. You're doing something you don't want to do, then just stop, and everything's going to be fine. Now, it's a biblical truth that you should stop. But here's the problem that I think every one of us in this room know. That sure, if you finally come to the place where you're low enough, or you come to the place where you somehow gather enough energy, enough strength, you can stop. But you know it's only for a season. Sometimes you stop for just a day, sometimes a week, maybe you stop for years, but then a moment comes when you can't stop. Prior to this series, it was the Saturday night before. And I was really struggling with doing this series. because I kind of knew what it would do to all of you, and I knew what it would do in my own personal life, and it has rang true. So many of you have been challenged and are working through things right now, and there's spiritual warfare happening across our faith community. And it was late in the evening, and I was already in bed, because if you don't know me, when 9 o'clock hits, if I'm still conscious on a Saturday night at 9 p.m., that's a bad thing. I am out. But I woke up, because my wife was up, and I heard keys jingling. And so I kind of got up. See, I thought maybe she was leaving me. actually, she just needed to go to the store for something. But she was studying. And she's in nursing school. She's been studying. And I just, you know, as a husband, I kind of felt like I can serve her in this way. So I said, let me go to the store for you. And we argued for a while. And then I walked out the door and off to the store. And as I pull up to the store, and I've got, like, I don't even know what I'm wearing. Not really store-appropriate stuff. But it's like 11-something, you know. I mean, if any of you are there, whatever. So I go, and I get out, and I start going in. And a guy's coming out of the grocery store. And he says to me, I said, yeah, I parked in handicap, but I didn't figure like 8 handicapped people would show up at this time of night. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's fine. I don't care where you park. And then all of a sudden he goes, Pastor Doug? Hey, how you doing? and he says, you don't know me. He said, I came to your church a couple weeks ago. And he said, life's been tough for me. And I've been sober for 6 months. And he said, I give up. He said, so I came tonight and I bought alcohol. And he said, I was in the store and I was praying, God, give me a sign. And he said, here you are. Yeah, praise the Lord, right? Now get a load of this. So we end up having a conversation. He says, Will you take my alcohol? And he had a significant amount of vodka he bought. And we stood right there at Hy-Vee at the little island. We poured it out there on the rocks. I prayed with him and we went our separate ways. The night before, we do a series that says if you're tempted, that God won't allow it to be more than you can bear, and that he'll give you a way out. You need to look for it. Here, somebody who doesn't really go here but came one time illustrated that for me, which gave me the courage the next Sunday morning to stand up and do what we do here. We all face temptation. And we all have to grab a hold of the truth that's in this verse because it is available for you if you will grab it. But if you continue to lull yourself that, hey, you know, I'm just going to keep going on with life as is. Because that guy could have gone to the, you know, from there to the liquor store and bought it and he would have just continued on. He would have fallen off the wagon and that's how it was. I don't know where he is today, what he's up to, but God gives you these moments when you ask for them. These moments when you show up. And so we try and try and try on our own to do it, but we just find ourselves falling back into the same old habits. And so the first 2 weeks, we've been talking about how to stop, how to resist, how to no longer do something. But today, we need to look at what helps us continue in the stopping or in the resisting, and not just going back to it again, cycling through, doing it again and again and again. Because some of us say things like, hey, you know, Pastor, I want to read my Bible every single day. So I'm committing to read my Bible every single day. And day 3, you're no longer reading the Bible. It's just how it is for us. You know, I want to stop overspending, but I found this incredible sale. Everything's 50% off, and it's Kohl's. But do you know that if you bought a pair of pants at full price at Kohl's, you'd pay like $389 for a pair of pants? And when they're half off, they're still too expensive. So only I can figure that out? I don't understand that place. You know, I want to start going to the gym, but I got a 50% discount at Daylight Donuts. I want to do the right thing. I just don't seem to do it. You say, you know, I don't want to do the wrong thing, but it's hard. Now, I want you to know that today the things that we're talking about is really graduate-level stuff for Christianity. This is the mature stuff. This goes beyond the basics. If you want just enough Jesus to get into heaven, but not enough Jesus to radically change your life, this is going to miss you, okay? But I trust that the day will come when you are desperately going to be in need of this material, and so I want to provide it for you. But I think there's a few of you possibly here today that are ready for this next step. This is graduate level stuff today. Because I think today just might be the day that you unlock the ability to beat your temptations. I want you to look at what Paul has to say about this. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, he says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants you to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." This reminds me of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7 when he states that what the things that he wants to do that are good, he can't seem to do them. And the things that he doesn't want to do that are really bad, he seems that he just ends up doing those. Can you relate? I mean, I can relate. Can you relate? Yes, I think we all can relate to this. You say things like, you know, I want to do this, but then you end up not doing it. You also say, I don't want to do the wrong things, but then you find yourselves doing whatever those wrong things are. You know, I don't want to yell at my husband or my wife or my kids, and then you end up doing it. You know, I don't want to have sex before marriage, but then you cross the line. I don't want to do certain things, and I end up doing them. And the question is why? Because what you feed grows, and what you starve dies. If you're taking notes, page 6 of the program that you got when you came in, you can follow along. But this is true across the board, not only in agriculture, not only in your garden, not only with your house plants, but in your spiritual life as well. That whatever you feed will grow, but whatever you starve will die. If you feed your sinful nature, it will grow. But if you starve it, it will die. And if you feed your spirit, your spirit will grow stronger, but if you starve your spirit, it diminishes and it weakens. So you might say no to temptation, and that's good, but I want to encourage you to take the next step and feed your spirit. And I want you to feed it for the purpose of it growing stronger, because it's the second half of this very important equation. I want you to starve your sinful nature while strengthening your spiritual nature, and you're going to win every single time. I promise you this. So how do we practically overcome the desires of our body, our sinful nature, and use the power of the Holy Spirit? I want you to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? It's the most confusing of the Trinity. In fact, if you didn't know that, it is one of the Trinity. We have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, all different names people call. But the problem is that the Holy Spirit is not, we don't, in art or even in our minds, we don't have a bodily form for the Spirit. So it's kind of hard for us to tangibly understand. But the Spirit is a very powerful part, and actually the part of the Trinity that is most active in practical ways with us as followers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity that Jesus said he would leave with us when Jesus ascended into heaven. And he said that the Spirit would give us power. In fact, as the follower of Jesus, it is actually the Holy Spirit that indwells you. The Holy Ghost indwells you when you invite Jesus into your life. It's the Holy Spirit that comes into you and gives you the power and the salvation. In fact, when you read the Old Testament, where somebody is in need of God's amazing power, and they pray, and it says God's Spirit came upon this person, and then when that happened, they did like radically super cool stuff. That's the Holy Spirit, and the indwelling of the Spirit into that person is the same indwelling of the Spirit that we get as believers. Now, you may not realize that, or you may not tap into that power, but it doesn't mean that it's not there, because it is there just as powerfully it is than any Old Testament character that the Spirit of God comes upon and did amazing, powerful types of things. It's part of the process of us as we invite Christ in, and as the Spirit is powerful within us. In fact, look at this passage from Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. It says, "At the time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you." Okay, so that's this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. "And you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. And after these signs take place, do what must be done, for God is with you." So these are like these rocking Old Testament passages where you're like, man, God was really powerfully involved. Same thing with you. You have that same Holy Spirit living inside of you at this moment. Do you feel it? We don't always. But as Christians, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within you. You have to take that in. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8, 12 and 13. He says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Pause there for a second. Go back and read that. How much obligation do you have to sin? None. No obligation. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. The Holy Spirit is the key to unlocking the beating of the temptations in your life and not sinning by giving in to those temptations. But because of the Holy Spirit, we are not obligated. We do not have to sin. We don't have to. We're not obligated to do this because we have power in us to overcome. Now, sin is fun at first, but it leaves suffering, and it leaves pain, and it leaves death in its wake. Sin does not make your relationships better, does it? Sin doesn't make you healthier. Sin doesn't improve your financial future. It steals, and it kills, and it destroys. Every time. And the evidence for that is in your own life. Sure, sin is fun in the moment, and then you get syphilis. Right? It's fun in the moment, but then you no longer have Thanksgiving dinner with your family. One year you did, and the next year you no longer do because of the fun of sin. Sin is like a sneeze. When you do it, it feels really good, and then you have to deal with all the snot. Seriously, think of sin that way. It feels really good. Doesn't a sneeze feel good? Not one of those you have to cover up. Not the one that you have to be quiet about. Those of you that sneeze and make very little noise, you're missing all the joy of a sneeze. I'm talking a big sneeze, nothing blocking it, and you just let it fly. It is the best feeling, but what a mess it can create. That's what sin is like in our lives. It creates destruction. That first hit of dope, or that first wager at the table, that first drink, that first time stealing, it was just small. Getting that credit card and running it up that first time. You see, nobody wakes up one day with a destroyed life. It's a choice that they make day after day, moment after moment, as temptation comes and they give in to that temptation. Because what you feed will grow. And what you starve will die. And the growth of sin will kill you. And today you might be thinking, hey, Pastor Doug, I got it under control. I got it handled. And I bet you're wrong. And I bet that over time, it will kill that you love. You think you've got it under control, but I bet over time, it will kill that you love. But remember our verse. That if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Not through your power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. You will no longer succumb to the temptation. And life for you can begin. Because what you starve dies. And what you feed grows. And I believe in all of my heart that there is someone here today that's going to do this. Is it you? I believe that there is someone here today that is going to start living today. I believe that there is someone here sitting in our seats in the first service that is going to, for the first time, mark this as a point in history when they chose to live, when they chose to finally get rid of the things that are killing them and are going to starve those things and start to grow, start to feed their spirit. And that today can be a point that you can mark in time, that you can write in the leaf of your Bible and say, today is a day I chose to live. And no longer fall to the temptations. I believe that today can be the beginning day of your testimony of healing. This can be the day that you can admit that you are powerless on your own to beat your temptations, but that today you discovered how to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Because, folks, victory is at hand. Will you take it? Here's the key. It's not a word you're going to like. But nothing good comes easy. Confession. I want to keep it a secret. Can't. Because in the secret is where there's the power. The dark power lies in the secret. But when you bring it out in the light, that's where Christ shines into that. That's where truth takes over. That's where lies are destroyed. Confession is the key. So what you need to do is you need to confess specifically to the Holy Spirit and ask his help. You can't get help for that which you refuse to confess. And I think this is the moment. This is the fork in the road for you. Will you confess that today or not? Because I think that the Holy Spirit is pointing pretty clearly for each of you. I don't know what it is. I've got to think that God is not confusing you at this moment. It's pretty clear what it is and what it is that you need to confess. And you get to choose life or you get to choose death, which is the path you're currently on. And your confession can be the spark that the Holy Spirit will use to start a fire in you that will starve your sinful nature. But will you do it? So we're going to get as practical as I know how to get. For the next 60 seconds, it's just you and God. Whatever he's put on your heart, you probably can't even, some of you can't even hear my words right now. Holy Spirit is screaming so loud in your ears right now. That is a gift. So just close your eyes for the next 60 seconds. Some of you already are. Confess. Amen. Okay. Do you guys know who the angel Clarence is? I've talked about the angel Clarence many times. Anyone know who's the angel Clarence? What's his job? Thank you. Yes, Sonia remembers. He's the table prayer angel. The one we pray all the time that has to, like, when we say bless his food or, you know, Clarence, he's really the dopey angel. He's like, woohoo, I got to do the food thing again. And all these, like, incredible, powerful angels that do spiritual warfare on our behalf just stand there continuing to wait, and Clarence gets all the work. Right now, Clarence is standing on the sideline, and you just brought on heaven's armies in confession and in asking the Holy Spirit to help. And confessing the things that you have done wrong and the ways that you have fallen to temptation and asking for strength through the power of the Holy Spirit, spiritual warfare has begun. There is a battle that is raging right now as a result of your prayer, and the battle is for you. And Jesus loves you enough because he gave his life so that this battle could happen for you the day that you decided this is the day. And today is that day. You can have victory over the things that continue to plague you, the temptations that continue to come in your life, the things that you continue to fail at. So I want to encourage you to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You need to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. The things that you just prayed about, the things that plague you, you can nail those to the cross of Christ and crucify them there as sin was crucified on that day. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Starving sinful nature, feeding the Spirit. And as you feed the Spirit through basic things, daily prayer, reading the Bible, attending church every single week, being connected in a small group or a Bible study of some sort, serving at things like Feeding South Dakota, or giving of your time and your skills or your resources, the Holy Spirit continues to guide you. And you take an active part in connecting with the Spirit. And I want you to know that as your pastor, I am not perfect. I am tempted daily, and I do not always beat my temptation, and I fail. But I can tell you this, that as your pastor standing before you today as God as my witness, my intimacy with God is better today than at any other point in my life and ministry. And as a result of that, my own personal testimony here is that as a result of that, the temptations that I face are less now prior to doing this series. But as the temptations come, I do a better job of resisting them today than I did in the past. But I am not overconfident because I know that I can fail to those at any moment. I need people that will pray for me as I commit to pray for you. But as I find seasons when I'm closer to God, better able to overcome temptation because of the Spirit's growth and help and strength within me, I believe that the closer that I get to God, the less and less I have the desire to feed my sinful nature. And more that part of my life dies, not because of the power that I have, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit within me, which is the same Holy Spirit within you. And I realize that you think that because I'm a pastor, somehow it's easier for me. It is not. And I know plenty of pastors that are not walking with the Spirit. They're dry, they're stagnant, they're alone, they're a mess. In fact, there have been even seasons in my own life that I've been in a bad place as your pastor. But I did learn something from a mentor of mine about 8 to 10 years ago. And I want to teach it to you. It might be helpful to you, might not be helpful to you at all. But he said this to me. He said, make a note of every time you sense the Holy Spirit prompting you. And I thought, that's goofy advice. What does that look like? He said, it literally looks like this. Take a little pad of paper with you, and every time you feel the Spirit prompting you, you just write it down. You don't have to respond positively to it, but if you ever feel the Spirit prompting you to do something, write it down. And something crazy happened. That as I started to write those things down, I started to look for those things, and I started to respond to the Spirit's prompting in my life. That was a really wise mentor of mine. And I want to encourage you that maybe if you're struggling with this, how to do this, start with just as simple as that. Just start jotting down the times that the Spirit prompts you to do something. Because all of a sudden, you'll be listening to like 105.5, the Refuge radio. If you haven't listened to that, really like it. It's good stuff. They did not pay me to say that. And in the middle of listening to one of those songs, God's going to say something to you. Has that ever happened to you? Listen to music? Has God spoke to you through music? Sure. You jot it down. Or you'll be doing your 10 or 20 minutes of Bible reading every day. Every day. Every day. Five or 10, five, you know, 10, 20 minutes. Good. Five. Go with that. 5 minutes. Something, right? Every day. And while you're reading it, God's going to say something to you. you're going to feel a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Write it down. You don't have to do it. You can just not do it, but just write it down. What is he prompting you to do? You'll be going through life, and you'll sense God asking you to do something. Maybe it's to stop and say hello to a stranger. You don't have to do it, but at least write it down. All the missed opportunities. Or maybe do one of them. Jenny and I, our washer broke. And I don't like God for making my washer break. It made me mad. And it happened in a time in my life that I did not need a washer to break. And it also, why is it that your washer breaks when all the laundry's dirty? How come you can't finish all the laundry and then it breaks? You're like, well, we got a week to figure this out. Nope, everything's dirty. So we head to the laundromat. And we go to the laundromat there on Cleveland and whatever it is. Yeah, somewhere over there. And no, that's not the one. We stopped there. We decided it was too full. We went on. The one by Hoo-Hot. Gas station over there, Hoo-Hot, east side of town. You know what I'm talking about. Laundromat people? Yeah. So we go in there, and they've got the big machines. We fill up all the machines. And this guy, African guy, he comes up to talk to me, and he's holding football pants. And then he's talking to me. I don't understand a word he's saying. The machines are going, uh-huh, what? And he's talking to me about it. He's got a son. I think he plays football because he's got the football pads. And do you know what I'm thinking in my heart, in my mind? And so I kind of chit-chat, and I kind of do this smile, And then I step away. As soon as like he paused long enough, I do not need any of this tonight. You know what my wife does? She just goes right over, starts chatting him up, talking to him, finds out son and plays football. He doesn't know, do the pads stay in? Do they come out? Do you hand wash him? He's confused, and he's out. He's done all his wash. All he has is his pants left. You know what Jenny says? Throw him in with our stuff. So we've got like 45 minutes together, and the Holy Spirit prompted me. And I think if I could read the Holy Spirit, he started with, you're an idiot. And we had a great conversation. He's from South Sudan. I happen to know someone that's been to South Sudan a couple of times. Talked about the need for water over there. We helped build a well. And I said, I'm the pastor at Hillcrest. And his eyes lit up. He knew the whole story. He knew all about this congregation. And he raised his hands, and he was praying out loud in the middle of the laundromat. And I'm kind of standing there like, this is, wow. The blessing that I received, I believe I needed. And the way God got me there was by busting my washing machine, which we ended up getting fixed, and everything was fine. God shows up in the craziest ways. And the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, I could have just rejected this man, and I was rejecting him in my heart. I did not want anything to do with anybody that I couldn't understand well over these machines, and blah, 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 and I just want to get out of here. But my wife, she heard the Holy Spirit, and she responded. And then I felt guilty, and then I engaged. I don't always get it right. I get it wrong more than I get it right, but when I get it right, God shows up. You want a prompting of the Holy Spirit? Next time you're in the mall, next time you're in Hy-Vee or wherever people are asked, ask God to show you over just the next 15 minutes someone who needs encouragement. And you just watch what God shows you in those 15 minutes in that place, wherever you're at. I promise you, you will get a prompting. What you do with it, that's up to you. But as you do this, you will begin to recognize the voice of God because he speaks to us often, sometimes in a still small voice. Sometimes the sheep need to tune in better to understand the voice of their shepherd. But you will begin to walk with the Spirit and not the desires of the flesh. Because you have no obligation, no obligation to whatever the thing is on your list to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, the scriptures say, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. And why are you no longer obligated? Because he is faithful. God is faithful. And he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Amen? Amen. How do you get out of temptation? Not by just trying, but by feeding the Spirit within you so that it will grow and it will starve that you wish would die. Depend on the power of the Holy Spirit and the promptings that he gives you. And he will give you a way out.